Happy Overcast Friday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex from the default route, default location. I'm slowly getting over my trauma, or as my mother put it, my PTSD. I knew when I told that lady what had happened. I knew. That's why I told Kimberly, I said, bro, I'll give you a couple of days to prepare yourself. Yeah, she did what mothers do. We all do what we do. I think we all have roles. And sometimes, or maybe usually, or maybe always, or maybe no matter what, whatever role we play may be determined by our personality. And our personality is just our personalities. There may be no negotiating that. And then with our certain kind of personality, certain kind of tendencies, certain kind of, well, just to put it crudely, that I'm definitely less sensitive to a lot of things that a lot of people are sensitive to. And I take pride in that. It may sound like I'm bragging about it, and I kind of am. You know, I don't get caught up in a lot of things that I see a lot of, maybe the majority of human beings get caught up in, whether it be beliefs or traditions or just ways to act, whatever that means, the appropriate responses and all that. And so we all do what we do. And I guess we find our space, either we find our role in society or the family, or the group that we're in, the social group that we're in, or the group adjusts to our personality or to our whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? It's like it's a two-way fit. It's not like, you know, to be in the group, you got to be this person. Oh, come on. Y'all never barked before. What's going on? I'm your friend. You don't like having that thing on your mouth, I bet, huh? So, it's probably a two-way street. You know, a person can be with a certain kind of personality. And depending on how important or structured the role is that they have within the group, or how tight their bond is to the group, or how necessary their bond is to the group. Say, for instance, say a father has a certain kind of disposition, or mother, or whatever, and they're born, and the family is made where that parent's role is necessary. The structure of the family or the group is going to have to adjust to that role. It's not like, well, they can, but it's not like they can kick them out and say, all right, no, we don't like your disposition. We don't like the way you do this. You know, it's not important enough for the group to change to accommodate your idiosyncrasies or whatever. But sometimes there's a fit, or maybe sometimes sometimes the group adjusts. Maybe sometimes the group adjusts to make it fit and turn it into something that is greater or better, whatever you want to call it, than the sum of the parts, you know, evolving. That's how we can get like so many different things, so many different aspects of whatever. Because there's so many variables in all this interaction, the social interaction in life, in our exchanges and our dependencies and our cohabitating and all that. But anyway, my mother said, you know, that me and Kimberly got PTSD. And I guess, I mean, I'm not saying she's wrong, but I will say this. When that lady says something, my reaction is, I don't know why. My instinctive reaction is, I don't know why. And I was thinking, when my father said something, I was like, huh, really? Basically, when he could say anything, and I'd be like, or I better take it in. And it may be because the manner in which he talks, I'm more relatable to. Maybe the terminology and the way and the style, not the style, but the way he delivers messages or says things, maybe in a way that I can understand more clearly than my mother, who may be more, I don't want to say touchy-feely, not that, but kind of, you know, more ethereal, or not ethereal, just more generalized, not generalized, more, you know, gooey, not gooey, but you know what I mean, more, you know, bigger, softer picture. Whereas my father gonna say A, B, C, D equal L. You know, you go, that's right. He'll put it in terms like that. Well, my mother would always say, well, you know, A and B met one day, and their dynamics, and just go through that whole, you know, thing. And I admit it many, many, many times before. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't hit me until later. It doesn't hit me until I'll be sitting around and go, huh, that lady was right. Or I realize that she'll say something and I'll have that, I guess you could call it a negative reaction, a negative, not trigger, but kind of a, you know, almost too quick. Even I know it's just too quick. You know, you didn't even think about it, Jeffrey, damn, and you're reacting. But from that triggering, and from that, not triggering, but from that reaction, it seems to always, not always, but it has very often helped me come to my final decision or insight. From that reaction, be it negative or however you want to call it, you know, from that reaction, many times I've figured it out based on that. See that? There was a thing there. See that? And then right, oh, he's coming this way, I'm coming that way. And all three of us end up at the same point, the same time. All three of us, that, the barrier thing, and us. Of all the times he could have came in there, of all the times I could have walked in there, it seemed like we all ended up, there has to be something to it. It has to be, I subconsciously slow down or speed up, or they slow down or speed up. It has to be something more to it, because it happens way too much. It happens way too much. But anyway, like I said, even though my mother says something and I go, that don't make no sense, it'll help me still get to a better understanding or an insight that I appreciate based off that triggering, if you can call it triggering. I don't know if it's the word triggering. But anyhow, she said I got PTSD, and of course I'm like, and it could be that I do. It could be, I mean, because things are so general nowadays. You could take anything. You could say anything is anything. You could have a mild form of PTSD and not even know it. Maybe half the damn population is walking around with a mild form of PTSD. You know, what is depression? You know, how depressed is depressed? What is depressed, you know? You know, you can have like a little teeny-weeny drop of depression and you're depressed, technically, speaking kind of, you know what I mean? But I say all that to say I'm definitely going through something. I definitely is going through something over granddaughter's injury, the experience of granddaughter's injury, definitely, definitely between, I mean, because Friday night, I think granddaughter was there Friday night, so it was one of those nights, you know, so she's there, you get rest, but you don't. So, and then Saturday, we got up, and we knew we both had free days, so I knew, my thing is, we got to do something. We can't sit in this house. Granddaughter gonna go crazy. I'm gonna go crazy. We gotta go do something. And I do wanna, you know, take her out, you know, and get her out, you know, to give Kimberly some time. Cause it takes a village. So I knew we had to do something. So I mean, Saturday was a full day. Injury happened Saturday. Sunday I was traveling. Monday, I'm up at 3 a.m. Eastern time, which is midnight, California, red eye, no, not red eye, morning flight to L.A., get to L.A. at 8 a.m., fly away, Uber, get home, take an hour nap and work, and I've been working. I'm going to get a full week's of work, full 5 days of work in off of that weekend. You know, that traumatic weekend, Sunday, you know, all that. Haven't seen granddaughter on camera or nothing yet. And to be completely honest, it's not that I'm avoiding it, but I need some time. I need some time, and I can admit it, you know, goddammit, because I'm Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. You know, I can admit it, dude. I'm not shy about saying I need some time. You know, just to get my thoughts together. I mean, if I had to in a pinch, you know, I could go step to the plate and probably hit a triple. But I'm like, I may be wallowing in, not pity, but I'm definitely wallowing in the experience. I'm definitely getting all I can out of the experience. There's no doubt about that. If I could put it that way. It may be just that it does have an effect on me. It may affect my metabolism, my thinking, and all that. And then Monday, I had to get my taxes done. Get hit with a walloping tax bill. It angered me. Stock market is acting up. I'm watching my money just drop. I mean, but I didn't miss work. I didn't call off work. I've been to work. I'm saving that PTO, you know. I was going to go out Wednesday night to see Trulio Desgracius. I got off work. Saw it was 20 minutes to get to the Mint from downtown. I was like, I'm going home and eat potato chips. I'm going to go home, eat that steak I had left over from last time I was at my mother's house. And some greens that Kara made last time. I think the time before I was at home. And get my potato chips with vinegar on them, and potassium chloride salt substitute. Sit in there and share with my diluted Kool-Aid. Because I make Kool-Aid, I double the water. I take the 2-quart portion ingredients recipe, and I add a whole gallon of water. And sit in front of my Netflix and watch my Steeler podcast that are super boring now because they nothing going on. So they kind of irritate me. All of it is a lot of speculation and what ifs, and they just trying to get you to keep watching. And I get it because I like seeing the guys. You know, hear them talking. Every now and then they might say something. You know, because sometimes I just want something platonic like that to watch. You know, I ain't trying to watch no Three-Body Problem or no nothing. The Last of Us or nothing that's going to be gripping or anything. You just kind of want to zone out. So last night I watched the Iranian-Israeli war thing going on. That was on all the channels. Fox, MSNBC, and CNN, they all pretty much had coverage on it. And it's kind of cool thing too, I'm not sure if it was luck or whatever, coincidence, but I'm watching all the channels. There wasn't that many commercials. I don't think they went to commercial that much. I was bouncing back between all of them. And I don't remember sitting there going, oh, damn, a commercial. Because I watch Netflix and stuff. And YouTube's, I got YouTube Premium, so I don't do ads. You know, I'm not used to doing ads. And when ads come on, I mute. I ain't trying to hear that. But anyway, so I'm going through that. And I'm definitely going through something. And I'm coming out the other end. And the reason I thought that I was coming out the other end, because I'm thinking, well, this might help granddaughter pick out a costume for Halloween. She could either be Scarface or a pirate. She could be a girl pirate. And when I thought about that and it made me laugh, I was like, okay, you're coming out of it. Because up until maybe this morning or last night, I wasn't in my energy or mood or whatever was not going that direction at all. No, I'm not. And maybe another thing too, having this experience, just like getting sick. You got to get sick to let to remind you of how good it feels to feel good. You got to have these moments, these challenging moments. You need challenging moments. I would even say you need stress. I wouldn't quite go to say that you need trauma, but it probably don't help. It probably don't hurt to have a little bit of trauma to keep you on guard or ready or whatever. Life, that's why I keep saying again and again and again and again, I don't see how heaven's going to work. I don't see how heaven's going to work. Half of the people I know, you put in heaven in a perfect situation, perfect everything, everything bliss, 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 they going to mess it up. Because that's what humans do. We're not built for bliss. We're not built for total bliss. We need ups and downs. We got to find our own high ground. Mother's wit is your protection. Use it for your connection. I said it backwards. Mother's wit. Of all songs for me to think of, I go back to my mother talking about PTSD, and I go to mother's wit. Mother's wit is all you get. Oh, mother's wit. See, that's my life. That's how my life goes, and I love my life like that. I love those little things in my life. Things that I remember from 40, 50 years ago that pop in my head and fit exactly with what I'm doing now. And since I study my life, I haven't examined life. You know, I study, literally summarize, critique, you know, my life over and over and over, probably all day long. Where I want to go, what I want to do, how I'm going to do it, this. So I believe that I'm highly aware of the things in my life. I'm highly aware of things, a lot of things that I experience and I carry with me. I don't push too much out. I don't push too much of anything in my life out, like shut it out of my mind, at least not intentionally. Maybe subconsciously there's some things that I forgot, you know, that my subconscious did to protect myself. But most of the time, I'm just like, you know, all of it, all of it. I remember all of it, the ups and downs, the fights I had, the good, the bad, the ugly, the injuries, the, you know, good reports, bad reports, whatever, all of that. So it all, and this is why I love being Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. I love the life I built. I love the person I am. I became the person I am. I became the person that I wanted to be. I am the person I want to be. Now I'm at the point where I got to keep going farther. I got to do more. Now that I'm here, I can't rest. I got to do more. I want more. I feel obligated. I feel like I have a responsibility, not just to me, but to people around me who helped me get to be this person. Because I didn't create this motherfucker myself. Y'all helped. It wasn't just me who created this person. Mm-mm. All of y'all. Y'all talk about Jeffrey. Y'all did it. Ain't my fault if I'm spoiled. Another Pete Funk lyric. See, that's what I carry through my life. This is what I carry in my life. You know, I've had that since age 14, 15, 16, whatever. That quote unquote philosophy, that Pete Funk thing that I could go to get to see a role. Not a role model, so to, well, maybe a role model. I'm not the kind of person who's going to put that tag on anybody, but it's tough for me to put that tag on anybody. But, and maybe not one individual, you know, from P-Funk or anything, but the philosophy. I love the philosophy fit what I wanted to do. I was very attracted to it, the whole idea of it. And I'll say it again and again and again and again. It wasn't all about I love you, I love you, I want you. Oh, it wasn't none of that lovey-dovey love. Like I said, there's very few songs of P-Funk. I think there's only one, Getting to Know You, where the term I love you is expressed deliberately, directly. I love you. You know, and if it was more, baby, I love you, and the world, that's around. And it was kind of platonic and kind of not, you know, that always and forever kind of deep love. It's just you and nothing else but you. And you saw this and all, oh, God, to this day, I can't. To this day. Now, I have my love song. A Love of Your Own is my favorite. So I can go there. Okay. A Love of Your Own is my all-time favorite by far. Nothing touches that. Love of Your Own by Average White Band. Nothing touches that song. It's A Love of Your Own by Average White Band. And it's Parliament. Everything else is bullshit. Yes, even Funkadelic. Okay, we've been down this road. No need to go down there. No need to go down there. I'm just playing, but I'm not. So I've had that becoming who I am. But even with all that, even with all my security and confidence and experience, I get shook. I can get shaken. And it's good to be reminded of that. It's good to be reminded, nigga. Life is still better than your ass. You know, I have respect for life. Life, I just have respect for it. Because it's beautiful. I've been able to make it do what I want it to do, have it be what I want it to be for me. But life will come back and say, who the boss? Who's the boss? Because there are, I guess a good way, I just popped in my head. There are things that are out of my control. I think that's the way to put it. There are things that are out of my control. And I'm reminded about that when I deal with people. Mostly at work now. Because that's who I deal with people the most at work. You know, at work. That's my greatest interactions, deal with people. You go back with family, oh my God. You go with family, you deal with people. Just throw a magnitude 10 magnifier on it. Just turn things up to times 100 when you deal with family. Dealing with work people, you know, because it's your job, it's your livelihood. You know, there's certain things that you believe you should adhere to and that the company should adhere to, but it's not your company. You know, other people want to do things different way. In fact, in our job right now, there's going to be like a civil war over how we handle tickets. Tickets coming in. It used to be the old school style where if a ticket came in and somebody touched it and was working on it, you sent it to them. You just sent it to them. You didn't have to like reach out to them or nothing. You just transferred it to them. Boom. And you move on to the next ticket. It was a time we would have 4 or 5 tickets in our queue. And we handled it. You know, because you're sitting there, you're looking at your queue. You can see it. You can see when the ticket come in. You should have to be notified. But then they started having a metric or SLA, I'm not sure what it's called, or KPI, I don't know, whatever you call it, and to where how long you're on the email will count against you, quote unquote, against you, and all that. So if somebody was to put an email in your queue and you ain't ready for it and it's just sitting there, you get dinged for it, kind of, because that email is there for like 18, 20 minutes, whatever. You get dinged for it. My average email time, which is some of the best in the group, is 4 minutes. I admit I got a trick. I will readily admit, no, that I have a tactic. I have a strategy and a tactic. There's no doubt about it. But I'm there. I get it done. I see what I need to do, what happens. I'm not like, you know, in the kitchen, washing dishes or cooking. 99% of the time. Okay, maybe 97% of the time. You know, I'm there right there so I can see what's coming in and what's not. But we went to a new system where you just don't transfer tickets anymore. Something about what's best for the customer, white glove service, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then some people seems to be the ones across the pond and want to do it one way. And us old school people who've been here before that faction of the company was even created, we're used to doing it another way. And some of the old timers who've been here, a group of them who've been here for a very long time, they work together in the morning shift. They have a strong bond. They're cohesive because they all work together for so long. They want to do it one way. I'm in the middle. I'm everybody's friend. I work like 12 to 8. So I get some morning and evening. And I'm a good person to be that person too, if you ask me. Because I remember one time, long time ago, Melanie, she was crazy, but she was fun. She was crazy, but she was fun. She said, you know what I like about you, Jerry? You talk to everybody. You go from one end to the other, and I didn't know what she meant until I saw the little bit of segregation or, you know, separation between the morning crew and certain crews, you know, certain people who used to work together and some people don't. Because I figure, you know, some people down at this end in this shift may not ever interact with somebody sitting at the other end working another shift. I went to everybody. It didn't matter to me. And so she recognized that. And that's kind of what I do now. Morning shift. And I got the middle shift, the midday shift. It's got some of the blandest personalities. It's a nice conservative. I'm a conservative that's really not even chill. Chill ain't even the word. Chill is not the word. It's just basic. You know, you got the morning crew who got this kind of personality. You got the evening crew. They got too much personality. Way too much personality. All the cool people are in the evening crew. And I used to be in there. And they took me out to give coverage to that middle section. You know, I was upset when I had to leave too. I was upset when I had to leave that because I loved that 3:30. Everybody was in that, you know. And they do it differently. They do things differently. And so we got to get together on the same page. And at first, it got to me. I was triggered by certain events. And what happened was, one of the supervisors from across the pond hit me up saying, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. And I'm like, no, it's not. I told him, I said, everybody don't do it that way. You know, and I said, everybody don't do it that way. And then you come back, and then now you got the evening crew that'll transfer you a CIC toast straight to your box, even if you're on a call. Because that's the rapport that they develop within their group. And it's hard to argue that. You know, that's what they all agree. All right, here's how we're going. It's cool. Well, I don't even know if they had to talk it out. They just started doing it. And then when I saw people of authority just transferring me tickets where you ain't supposed to do that, I was like, oh, it's that big. And then I was able to voice my opinion or, you know, how I felt, vent to my supervisor. Soon as I did that, I was cool. Soon as I got it out and had to say what I had to say, and I saw that look on her face where, yeah, we're going to have to deal with this. And then the big, big boss, the director, I brought it up to him in the meeting 2 days ago, the big guy. Well, not the big guy, but the big guy over our unit or whatever. I brought it up to him. And he's cool. You know, he ain't going to, you know, get all weird or nothing about it. He was, you know, we was able to have a little fun with it, but still hit the point. I brought up to him. People around me backed me up. He tried to, you know, give that answer. I was like, nope, that's not it. I said, that's not what happened. So it was good, and I feel a lot better now. So now I'm sitting there, whatever happens, happen. You know, I'm still gonna have the best performance or try my best to have the best performance, do the best I can. I'm still gonna get paid the same. I'm Jerry Scott Mitchell, goddammit. What else is there? So I feel a lot better about it. If I'm sitting there and I get a toast or something sent to me that quote unquote shouldn't be, where like a couple weeks ago, I got hit up by a supervisor who said, we don't do it that way. He said, we don't do it that way. As soon as he said it, somebody else did me that way. And I'm like, okay, because I have faith in this company. No, it's not even faith. I can't even say faith, because faith means no evidence. I definitely have evidence that This is the best place in the world to work at, and things will get worked out. This damn dog here, you need to get on some, oh, two of y'all, you need to get on some meds. Look at y'all. Ha-ha, I'm back here now. Ha-ha. Now I'm going to go over here. Ha-ha. All that ain't necessary. All that ain't necessary. Ah. But then you got to remember, also think too, that's all the exercise they get. That's the highlight of their day. You know, so what can you say? You know, that gets their blood going. That's their stress. That's their challenge that I was talking about the human beings need. You know, that's what they go through to keep that makes them feel alive. You know, so I ain't mad at him. I ain't mad at the dog. If anything, I'd be mad at the owner. You know, because that could be trained out of them, or there's things they can do to, you know, train a dog or whatever they tell me. Anyway, so that's how that works at work. And I'm cool with it now. You know, because I can come in there and be Jeffrey, be just as vocal as anything, and be me, and I haven't been reprimanded for it yet, if you could put it that way. I know, here I come, I always come back. I ain't left yet, I'm still up here, where you going? Yeah, I know. Wait for me? What? I know. So, I'm good. I mean, I'm happy. So back to granddaughter. I got the pictures of the stitches. I was even so, you know, I was so whatever I was that I didn't even want to ask. It's like, I just wanted to get away from the situation. Not really. That's not true. I can't say I didn't want to get away from the situation. I definitely do not want it to be portrayed that way. But I needed to step away just for a little bit. I needed to step away just for a little bit to get my thoughts together, to get me together so that I can, you know, come back into it. I guess I could put it that way because I definitely feel, you know, a little bit, quote unquote, better, or I don't know if relieved is the word or whatever you want to call it. But it was definitely traumatic. I guess it was. I guess I have to admit that it was traumatic. And I say have to admit because, you know, I went through it. I sprung in the action. You know, I was almost energized by the whole thing. I was like, all right, here's what I do. It was like fourth quarter. Give me the ball, coach. Put me in, coach. You know, that's where I went. That's where my energy took me. And my daughter said I might have been the best person to go through that. Because she said all of them would have freaked out. And I'm trying to understand, you know, how can you freak out? What happens when you freak out? What would you do? Just curl up in a ball and start crying or hollering and screaming? Or what? I mean, you know, I have faith, or I believe, I know doggone well, Kimmy's child need help. She gonna step up and handle it. She probably don't ever want to think about it. If I have to be in that, I think if she in that position, you know, she'll step up and get it done. But I can see how the situation presented me. I got a feeling like, all right, put me in, coach, I'm ready. This is what I do. All right, come on, watch this, y'all. I'm gonna show you. And that kind of was going through my head. That literally kind of was going through my head. Even with the people around me at the mall watching, I said, I'm gonna show y'all how you handle this. Watch this. Me and granddaughter, watch us how we do it. Watch how we do it. We ain't gonna be flailing all over the place, acting all crazy and whatnot. Granddaughter stopped crying. She had this big old split in her head, but she's still sitting there. You know, she kind of leaned up against me and hugged me. I let her hug me. I know I said that, but in a way, I'm joking, but I'm not. You know, I let her, you know, and I actually gave something back. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm here. I was like, I'm here. I was being cuddly and nurturing at that moment. So, And I remember doing that. I was like, yeah, okay, girl. I was like, okay, granddaughter. Okay, granddaughter. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here with you. It's going to be okay. It's going to hurt, but it's going to be okay. I just went into that. And I may or may not be used to that. I know how to do it. But then, you know, people watching us, people looking at us like, oh, you know, I was calm. You know, and I was aware people were watching, but my focus was still on granddaughter. You know, I had my priorities together, but my peripheral was working. Paramedics came. You know, I answered the questions clearly. I cooperated. You know, I was alert. I was attentive, looked them in the eye, all of that. Like I said, in that time when it happened, that's the energy I got. All right, it's our time. Show them what's up. Show them what Jeffrey Scott Mitchell do. Show them what Clarence and Dolores taught you. Right now, right here. Watch this. Some of that came in. No doubt. There was no doubt about it. Watch how me and granddaughter do it. Watch how we handle this. Definitely. And I can see how somebody else in that situation may not get that. May not, that same triggering may cause another kind of reaction. Like Noah Fisher told me a long time ago, he said, everybody gets fear. Everybody has fear. It's how you respond to that fear. Different people respond to that sensation of fear differently. I said, this dude kind of must have read a book or two or something. In fact, all them funk cats be knowing stuff. I mean, like I said before, I ain't gonna say that they ain't educated or dumb or anything, but they be having some insight that comes from a direction that makes me just step back and go, damn, how long you been thinking about this? They just, especially the people on cast, they'll turn something around and give it back to you. And I go, whoa, I think it's a musician brain or whatever. But anyhow, so I'm thinking that's what might happen to like my daughter or somebody else who, you know, we all get the same feeling, but how our bodies react to that feeling may be different. Like I said, mine was, come on, let's go. Watch this. Come on. Yeah, I thought about my mother, my father, Kimberly, my ex, her mother, her grand, everybody. You know, I'm on, it's my time. I'm on the stage now. I got the mic. It's showtime. Show them. Literally, some of that went through my head. So, and now, but that went through, but that don't mean that I ain't gonna experience the residual of the trauma. Cause woo, I had to take a couple days. I had to take a couple days. I think I'm getting back to it now. But it also made me realize, and I hope that that's not the case, that I get too cautious. You know, I'm glad that I was reminded that life is fragile. You know, you gotta still, you know, things can happen. Life is still in control. There are some things that are out of my control. I'm glad I was reminded of that. And in different aspects, other aspects of my life, I become more aware, maybe a little bit more sensitive to this or to that, that may or may not need to happen or not happen. Just being aware of things. You know, not so much like, ooh, can't touch me. Da-da-da-da-da. Can't touch us. None of that, you know, kind of that. Well, that's lesson. And it's going to come back. Let's face it, it's going to come back. And while I was going through this part, you know, I was sure to maintain momentum going forward. You know, just get done little stuff. You know, I didn't really want to dive in and deal with anything super important or super crucial or anything weighty, but just knock off the little stuff. You know, just keep hitting little stuff. Just keep doing something. Keep, you know, data or files or clean this, clean that, arrange this or that. Just keep in motion, you know, because some stuff, like my tax bill or this or that, or I got to move thousands of dollars around, I put that off. Another thing I found out today, I forgot to get tickets for the P-Funk shows that I want to go to. And they're all freaking seats. And all the good seats are gone. And it's killing me. I'm about to look at that today, get that knocked out. All the good seats are gone. And it's all seating. It's not, you know, general admission. I'm used to having general admission. I get that pit ticket, boom, I'm done. But now I got to look and see what shows are pit. Because I ain't trying to sit row L. Even though when I go there, I usually don't end up sitting in row L or row D. Hell, I don't even want to sit in row C, damn it. And then I saw a ticket, row A in Vegas, $350. Not like I ain't ever paid that much before, but damn, you know? And I might have to do it. I've been spending way too much money. I've been spending way, way, way too much money. I'm in a money crunch. I need to slow down. I need to get myself together. All of that. You know? And I kind of pushed that off to the back burner. But I had it still cooking. But it was just cooking nice and slow in the crock pot. You know, until I could get to it. Anyway, my name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Sinuses, headaches, Sudafeds, all of that. Overcast day today, as you can see. Friday. But Mr. Scale, I think I'm making headway. Last night, I didn't have that second snack or second eating. I went to bed without it. I forced myself to destimulate, to let that craving or whatever that was not be satisfied, to push that down and roll over and go to sleep and not get up and get that bowl of potato chips to help me roll over. And I woke up 219.0 this morning. I'm out here today doing what I do. If I could just keep it going, and we've got the weekend coming up, and the weekends are usually horrible for this, but we'll see. Weekends are usually bad, bad, bad. And after the week I'd have had, it'll be very easy for me, very, very easy for me just to fall in it and wallow and put on all kinds of stupid weight, put all that weight back on. But we'll see. We'll see. I got to go pick up a camera, go pick up my digital camera. It should allow me to play my videotapes, so I could probably go to storage. Could probably get up, do my steps. Get up, do my steps. And then we'll maybe get Gus's fried chicken. I'm damn sure thinking about food. Shut up. I'm thinking about food. I just can't put it on my mind. Just think about something else. No, it don't work that way. Not at all. Because I gotta go to Pasadena to pick up my camera, and that's another $300. Then I get those tapes. I can start looking at those tapes. Got hundreds of tapes. Get them organized. I bought boxes for them. So I got nice little boxes I can store them in. And, you know, label them and get them all in a row by date. Just organized. Work in storage a little bit, maybe. Anyhow, go to Pasadena. Ooh, go to Pasadena to get a pastrami sandwich from Amy's Lucky's on Walnut. What do I want? Fried chicken. I guess it's fried chicken. I don't see how I do it. It ain't even here yet, and I'm fantasizing about it. But tonight, if I could just stay cool tonight, and one more day, you know, one day at a time, get off work. It's going to be Friday. I'm probably going to be lit up a little bit. No, I don't got to work tomorrow. But, you know. Anyhow. Swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk, and for granddaughter. She is impressive. I don't say that to everybody. I do not say that to everybody. But she's charming. She's not a pushover. She's fun. She interacts. She's smart. She's always going to the next thing. She responds to commands most of the time. Sometimes you got to like let her know, you know. But she wants to, it seems like she wants to do, quote unquote, the right thing. You know, deep down you can tell she wants to do the right thing. And it's just, you know, for her, you don't want that, the innocent. It's the innocence you don't want violated. Not violated, but you don't want tarnished so early, because it's going to happen. The innocence is going to get touched. Life is going to touch it. That's what life does. Like I said, it can't be all bliss. It's got to have some of this and some of that. You got to. But you want to keep her as innocent. If innocent is the word, you know, as long as you can. And let them grow into it, get a good foundation, base of understanding and support that they know they have. So when they go out there and they face quote-unquote obstacles or challenges, they know they have a good foundation or base of how so-and-so handled it, how so-and-so handled it. This is what we do. This is what I was taught. This is what I saw. This is what I was shown. Anyway, two times. For every elementary, speaking on y'all, two times. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be, totality of it all, hypothesis of all as one, theory of universe. My name is Jeffrey.